listening to Joe Barnes Online. We're talking about building businesses, creating an income for life, and having the freedom to work from anywhere in the world with passion and energy. For want of a better phrase, grabbing life by the proverbial balls. My name is Joe Barnes. Let's make it happen. Hello, how you doing? Joe here. Welcome to today's episode. And today I am interviewing a lovely lady who has actually been a part of the Joe Barnes Online community pretty much since its inception back in 2011. And she is an absolute inspiration. She is somebody who had a goal, had a vision, wanted to travel, wanted to see the world, and has worked tirelessly over the last few years to make her dreams come true. She is the epitome of what I'm trying to inspire people with here at Joe Barnes Online, and that is that you can, in fact, go out there and live your dreams and work from anywhere in the world. And our lovely guest today, the lovely Tina Sibley, is living proof of how she is actually doing that right now. So I hope you'll enjoy our conversation. She also gives some fantastic tips. She teaches people how to get on webinars and videos and be super confident with their message. And so she's going to be giving some fantastic tips along the way as well. So enjoy. Hey, Tina, how are you doing? Welcome to today's podcast episode.
Thank you, Joe. It is so nice to be here and so great to talk with you again.
And where are you right now, Tina? Where are you joining us from?
Right now I am in Calgary, up in Canada.
And what's the weather like?
Cold. It's snowing. It's been minus 15 and it's about time spring started to happen. But I'm flying south in a few days, so that should help with the chilly factor.
Minus 15. So what do you wear when you go out the door?
Lots of layers, a great big woolly coat, boots, scarves, gloves, you name it, it goes on.
do you know, a few years ago, we took our daughter to Finland and with the goal of taking her to see Santa Claus and the North Pole and all that kind of stuff. You know, we told her we were going to the North Pole. And it was minus 17 and I was wearing like a ninja style head, what are they called? Balaclava. And, you know, all these undergarments and then these big kind of things on top. And it was absolutely freezing. And I thought that was completely abnormal. And you literally only did that, you know, you couldn't survive in that for longer than about a week. And there you are just living life normally, traveling around in temperatures of minus 15. That just sounds crazy to me.
I know. But it's strangely enough, not as cold as you think it is. In fact, when I first came over here, I was wearing great big thick woolies on top of thermals and then my coat and scarf and all the rest of it. And as long as you protect the extremities, it's things like your nose.
Yeah.
You know, that suffers. But I actually was, when I was dressed up like this Michelin man, I was actually getting too warm.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it was weird. I was like sweating underneath everything. But I remember, you know, it's so beautiful. And I was taking my gloves off to hold my phone and take photos. And there's no way my hands could be out of my gloves for longer than, you know, a few seconds.
So where have you been? Because you've been traveling around for the last few months. Tell us a little bit about the travels. Where have you been?
I landed, first of all, I went from Spain to the UK, spent a couple of weeks in the UK seeing my folks before I left. And then I flew to Toronto. And from Toronto, I went down to Niagara Falls.
Oh, wow. Then, what was that? How was that?
Oh, it was amazing. I've been there twice now. I've been twice this trip because it's been on my, Canada in general and Niagara Falls in particular have been on my bucket list, I don't know, since I was 13, 14. I remember when the CN Tower went up and it was like, oh, my God, I've got to have lunch up there. So I did. I had lunch up in the revolving restaurant at the top of CN Tower. That was super amazing. And then from there, I went to a little town called Southampton, which is on the shores of Lake Huron. And I stayed there for a couple of months and lived like the locals do. And it was a fabulous place. Really, really enjoyed it. And then from there, I went back to Toronto, met up with a friend of mine, and then we went back to Niagara Falls again. And then it started. Then the big tour started. So we went to Montreal, Ottawa, Quebec City, Halifax in Nova Scotia. From there to Calgary, from Calgary to Banff, we went through to Banff, Lake Louise, then Edmonton. Then we went took the train through the Rockies to Vancouver,
Wow.
and then I went down to a little place called White Rock, which is right on the border with the US, and then flew back to Calgary. So here I am,
And where to next?
Texas, yay!
Hey.
So I'm going to be spending 7 weeks in Texas. I originally had planned to do a lot more of the states, but it's been exhausting. So I'm staying in Texas, and I'm just going to do. I'm flying to Dallas,
Yeah.
then I'm going to Houston, then Austin, then back to Houston. We're going to go then to San Antonio and to South Padre Island, which is right next to the border with Mexico.
Okay.
And at some point during that time, we're going to go and visit Galveston as well.
So
So,
it should be a bit warmer there then.
oh, I hope so.
Yeah,
I'm
absolutely.
banking on it. Yeah, I'm
Yeah.
banking on it.
I went to San Antonio a few years ago. I went to a conference out there, and yeah, you need to go for dinner down by the river.
Yeah, down the boardwalk.
It's
Yes, I've
very
seen
nice.
all the
Very nice.
photos. I can't wait. I can't wait.
So tell us what inspired your current travels, Tina? What inspired this desire to go off and explore Canada and America?
First of all, it was just something that I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to travel more. Canada, I don't know why. Canada's even more so than the States. Canada was always on my list of places that I wanted to go to. And I think basically what it was, I split up with my other half in September. And I just felt like reinventing myself. I just felt like new adventures. I thought, okay, I can stay here. I can just get a flat here, you know. And I was really enjoying life in Spain and Gibraltar, but I don't know. There's just the adventure in me just wanted to take off. And I got told about a site for house sitting. I just went on this site and I had a look, and up came this opportunity to house sit for somebody for 2.5 months from kind of first week in December to the third week in February, looking after a really cute little Dachshund dog. And I just went, why the hell not?
And
So I
where was that?
that was in Southampton. That was up in Ontario, on the shores of Lake Huron. So I
Brilliant.
just went, yeah. And then it was, well, since I've paid for the flights to come over here, why don't I just carry on, see a bit more of the country? And that's what I did.
And obviously you're able to keep working while you're traveling.
Yeah. I mean, that is the beauty of having the online business. I kind of figured out, well, I've got the laptop. You know, as long as I got the internet, I can work from anywhere. And yeah, it's a challenge. You know, there are times when you think you're going to be able to work on the move, and the reality just doesn't pan out that way. Like, for example, we were supposed to have Wi-Fi on the train. And a couple of train journeys, one of the train journeys was 19 hours and the other one was 27 hours. And there was just no way. Your connection lasted seconds and then it dived out. And then, oh, it was just, so it was impossible. So you just had to do other stuff, or just look out the window and enjoy
Yeah,
the view.
years ago, as a fellow traveller, years ago, myself and my partner were running we did a couple of like day long webinar specials where we literally had loads of different guests on all through the day, and we were doing all these different webinars. But as travellers, sometimes we'd arrange these things in advance and then get what we were getting, and the internet would be terrible. And I remember we had this one day where we had so many problems, and we went from where we were staying, we went to a local pub and hooked into their internet until, you know, that they said we couldn't stay there anymore. And then I think we went to a restaurant, and then one of our webinar guests had to literally do the webinar without us, because at that point we were transporting to somewhere else to try and go and find internet elsewhere. It was very funny. So yeah, the old sort of traveling, but running a business while traveling can be a challenge if the internet is a challenge, can't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And okay, you can always rely on Starbucks to catch up with, you know, internet stuff. However, running any kind of interview or webinar or Facebook Live from that kind of place, it's just too noisy. There's just no way. You know, it's just not going to happen. The quality would be absolutely dreadful. So absolutely. I kind of soon learned that, okay, if I was going to do work on the move, it was going to be things like read books, do some planning, plan some content, that kind of thing.
All right, yeah. So let's go back, Tina. Let's regress in life, because you know you're kind of living the dream right now. You're out there traveling and seeing the world and meeting up with people. I think I saw on Facebook a little while ago you met up with a couple of ladies that I know their names, you know, they're part of the old SNA community or whatever.
Indeed.
Yeah, so you're out there living it up, having a good time, but it hasn't always been this way. It didn't start out this way. So what I'd like to explore is a little bit about your journey, with a goal to inspiring people listening. On it's not easy. It is a struggle, but if you persevere, and I think the theme for this podcast really is going to be about action taking, because you are an action taker. So you started way back when in a job that you didn't enjoy. You were in financial services for a while. You really disliked that. So you moved into presenting and training. And, you know, your speciality is in speaking and in helping people speak, whether that be speaking on stage or doing webinars or Facebook Lives or even interviews like these. I mean, anything which involves this kind of, you know, the vocal skills, if you like. So just take us back and tell us a little bit about how you kind of got yourself out of the corporate world that you didn't enjoy, and moving more towards what you really wanted to do.
I think it's quite funny, because when I was in corporate land, although I had no idea this is probably what it was at the time, but I think I've always had that entrepreneurial spirit. Quite frankly, I was not one to be ordered around, especially by what I used to call numpties. So kind of a bit of a saying from my Welsh youth.
A lumpty, did you say lumpty?
Numpty.
Oh, a numpty, yeah, numpty.
A numpty, yeah, yeah. So if there was somebody who I kind of thought was a bit of an idiot ordering me around, it didn't really go down that well, you know. So I hated being in corporate land. So I left and became a freelance trainer, and that was okay for a while, but I soon got fed up with driving all around the country to try and get work. You know, every single assignment that I took on, I had to just go, you know, halfway, well, literally all around the country, really. I went, you know, Scotland, Manchester, Sheffield, you know, Newcastle, and I was always away from home and I was always tired. So I kind of decided, no, I didn't want to do that anymore.
For our American friends listening, Scotland is right up the north, so if you look at a little map of England, Scotland's right at the top, and to get from, say, London to Scotland, you're looking at maybe a 5 or 6 hour drive, maybe even more.
Scotland was 13 hours.
Oh, Manchester, was it 13 hours? Yeah, so Manchester's your 5 or 6 hours.
Manchester was 8. Yeah, Manchester was about anything between 6 and 8 hours depending on traffic. Sheffield was about the same.
Yeah.
Actually, for the Canadians, that's a short hop.
Yeah. People who live in massive countries are like, what? 30? Yeah, whatever. 13 hours. Like my partner who lives in Australia, he's like, a 10-hour drive is nothing. They do that to go out for lunch.
Yeah, I know. But back then it was like, you know, for me it was like, yeah, that was a long way.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. No, I get it. Yep.
But doing it all the time was getting tiring, and that was when I kind of decided I wanted to go online, because where I was living locally in Plymouth, fantastic town, lovely seaside coastal city, which I adore, but it just wasn't the centre of the universe when it came to, you know, commerce, industry, where the work would be. So that was when somebody first said, well, why don't you go online? And I kind of had no clue. At that point, this was about 2010.
Yeah.
At that point, I didn't even know what an autoresponder was. I was clueless. I dabbled with having a website. And it's funny, actually, I saw on Facebook earlier, somebody posted about having a GeoCities website. And I thought, gosh, I had one of those back in about 2001, 2002, something like that, a GeoCities website. I went, wow. But then, of course, back in 2010.
I don't understand. What's a GeoCities?
Okay, so a GeoCities website, it was a kind of, I suppose it was the then version of what you can do on something like Wix now.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And there was all sorts of adverts on it and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, but in 2010, when I started looking into it, that was when, of course, a really good friend of mine, the lovely Linda McGrory, who's sadly no longer with us, she told me about you and the SNA. And it was like, because, you know, I was clueless. Facebook, you know, fan page, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
And so I got your Facebook fan page course.
Do you know, it's so funny how you say you were clueless. I remember when I very first started and I was having trouble with a link, trying to embed a link or something in a page. And I remember going onto the Warrior forum and asking somebody why this link wouldn't work. And they came back and said, because you have to put HTTP in front of it. A link isn't www dot. The actual link starts with http://// and then www dot. And I was like, oh, wow, okay, how interesting. And I remember this guy putting, well, you're not going to get very far, are you? But, you know, totally clueless. When I started online, like you just, I didn't even know what an actual link was, you know. It was completely and utterly one of the biggest learning curves ever coming from offline to online.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. but with what you put together with the SNA, I started learning and I did another course, which was, you know, how to kind of put a lead magnet together and then do webinars. And I bombed, absolutely bombed. But then gradually with your help and support and just being willing to have a go,
yeah,
I started clawing my way, you know, further and further forwards. And then it would come to a grinding halt and then I'd go a bit more. And but I think, it's like you said, it's all about perseverance. And I just thought, well, I'm not going to give up because what's the alternative? There's no way on earth I'm going to go back to having a job. And in fact, at one point, some really good friends of mine persuaded me to just do a one-year contract teaching leaders up in the oil and gas industry how to do speaking and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, okay, it'll help them out. It'll kind of be a bit of different scenery for me for a while. And I did it, but it was a real reminder that it was just too entrenched in, again, corporate world. And I went, nah. So I was determined that when that year was over, I was just going to pick up the threads and have another go. And fortunately, I started, you know, getting more and more clients and beginning to make a living. And I think it was just like, I just am not going to do the alternative. I'm not going to move back to Plymouth when the Scotland thing was over. I'm going to Spain.
Yep.
And it was sink or swim, literally sink or swim.
Make it happen. And before yeah. all of this, but before all of this, you very sadly went through a divorce and came out completely bankrupt.
I did, yes.
So you kind of literally started with nothing.
Yeah. And that was really frustrating because When I went bankrupt, I had been working really hard on building my online business. And I had a website, Speaking for Success, and I had courses. And then I didn't know this, but my website was considered an asset by the official receiver. And even though it was worthless to anybody else, I wasn't allowed to keep it.
Wow.
And I had to start all over again. Oh my God,
Oh.
that was I that is when I remember being in the office with the official receiver, and I've got to say now, they were lovely. The guy, I was expecting to be told off and really kind of felt to feel like the massive failure that I felt I already was, but I thought they were gonna really humiliate me and be really condescending, and nothing could have been further from the truth. The guy was really, really lovely, but when he told me that, I couldn't have to keep the website anymore, I just kind of just welled up, and he said, "Do you want to go and take 5 minutes?" Bless him. And I just went into the loo and I sobbed my heart out, and then I pulled myself together and I just took some big deep breaths and I went, "It's okay. Nothing, it's just up from here. Nothing can get any worse,
So
you
that was obviously a low point, yeah. And
know?"
bearing in mind you'd already started your online journey at that point. So what kind of things, 'cause you talk about, I was watching a video that you created where you do a great graphic of you in front of the mirror, and your inner voice is coming back at you saying, "Hey, you know what? You're not good enough, and you're not thin enough, and you're not clever enough, and you're not pretty enough," and all those things that I think we do say to ourselves sometimes. I mean, we are our own worst critics, and we are also our biggest limitation. And a lot of the times, we are that little voice pops up and it says, "You know what? You can't. You're not good enough. You're not this person. You're not that person. You don't have their credibility, or you don't have their authority, or you don't have their audience, or you don't have their looks, or you don't have their personality." All that kind of stuff pops up, and we give ourselves a really hard time. So at that time when you were really at a low point, and probably would have been a time where you could have just said, "Oh, sod it, I'm just gonna go and get a job," at the local supermarket.
Oh, and that crossed my mind. I'm going to be honest. I had several things. It was really funny, actually. I remember once there was, I mean, good friends were huge for me. And I was talking to a really good friend of mine, and he knew how to just like kick my ass out of feeling sorry for myself. And I remember, because my car had broken down and I couldn't afford to go and get it fixed. And I just said, "I feel like jumping off the Tamar Bridge." And he just said, "You can't even do that because you can't get there because your car's bust."
Talk about break your pattern.
I so considered going and just being a checkout chicken, Asda or Morrisons. That's the equivalent of Walmart for our friends across the pond here. But there's a couple of things that drove me. First of all, even though I was, com I often, when I felt like that, I was comparing myself with people who were ahead of me. And then I would feel inadequate and nobody's going to listen to me. But then I would see somebody who was claiming to do all this, have a course which was priced about five times what I was pricing mine. And I'd look at them and I'd go, "But I can do better than you." That's crap. I would think, "Oh, hey, if you can do it, I can do it," sort of thing. So there was that. But also, I started doing meditation when things were really bad. Meditation helped massively. I learned how to do some meditation, and even now I'm still doing it. My current favorite, there's a guy called Joe Dispenza. He wrote an amazing book called Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, and it is amazing. And he's got some fabulous meditations. And I do those meditations now, not just when I'm feeling, down, but actually when I'm feeling good, to spur myself on to, being even better so that I can be the best version of myself.
I sit along those similar lines actually. A couple of years ago, I started doing yoga, and it's like when I do yoga, I do it with this sort of classical chill out music, and it is like my meditation. And it makes me so annoyed if like my family get up in the middle of me doing yoga and start banging about. I'm like, guys, this is my time, and I play my lovely music and I stretch my body and it makes me feel really good and I calm my mind and I do lots of breathing and it just really sometimes when we're having lots of self-doubt and lots of negativity, we kind of think the answer is to try and replace it with positivity, but sometimes the answer is simply to replace it with quiet, isn't it? It's just to literally
It is.
silence all the voices and just take a breath.
And sometimes for me, I also found rather than squash it, to just acknowledge it, kind of say, where's that coming from then? And then deal with it. And just, because I think those kind of emotions are normal. We have it. It's a roller coaster. Entrepreneurship is a roller coaster. And if you didn't feel the ups and downs, I don't think you'd be a robot. You wouldn't be normal. You wouldn't be human. So I think sometimes it's just rise. I remember somebody told me a great expression once. When the waves are coming, don't resist them, surf them.
Oh,
I know, and I love that.
there is the title of today's podcast. Well done, Tina. That's beautiful. So tell us, talking about waves and surfing, tell us at the beginning of your journey, then after the bankruptcy and when you kind of got back on your feet and you were starting to move forward again, what were some of the biggest waves that came your way, and how did you manage to surf them?
So again, some of the waves were around. At that time, I was clueless with selling. I was an educator and I had hang-ups around selling because of my days back in the insurance industry. So I just thought if I, and this is funny because this is where I took all the mistakes that I made with my offline business online. I just thought that if I gave great talks and just gave great webinars and gave loads and loads of content, that people would just come knocking on my door saying, how can I work with you? I want to be your client. Here's my money, take it.
And to be
And
fair, that's what a lot of people teach. Just put out great content and people are going to come knocking. That's all you have to do. Okay, so tell us what happened.
And it didn't happen. And it's, I got to a point where I felt the more I gave, the more people would just want to take. And then, of course, I did free this, free webinar, free guides, free ebooks, free, more free webinars, more free videos. And then when I put something out for sale, it was like, what? You want us to pay for something? It was kind of just like alien, I guess. And I didn't know how to introduce it. I didn't know how to. Weave it through. So that was when I realized, okay, this is. I actually started to feel, if I'm totally honest, Joe, I started to feel used and abused. I just thought, well, you just want me when it's free, and that was what in the video I said, nobody's going to pay you. That was what I was saying to me to myself. Well, nobody's going to pay you, and I decided, okay, I got to learn how to sell. So I went and I got every course on learning how to sell and speaking to sell and you name it. I bought it, went on the conferences, and I started doing that and I started having some success. And I think this was around about the time where I did that joint venture webinar with you, and it was like amazing. And I earned my first five figures from one webinar, and it was like, yay, woohoo, this is amazing, this is it. And then afterwards, it kind of all crashed again. And the more I was learning, it was taking me down a road that didn't fit with my values again. It was going back. It was like going back to the insurance days. It was like false scarcity. Pretend the webinar's live when it's not. And I didn't like it. It just didn't. It just left a nasty taste in my mouth. And I just thought, I don't want to have to manipulate. I don't want to have to. Honesty and integrity is important to me.
Oh, I couldn't stand those webinar, those webinar platforms where they used to put up fake guests. They used to have a little button, where they would say, oh, look, you know, it's 50 people on the webinar. I mean, you know, if it's a recording, just say it's a recording.
And I still use the platforms because they've got some great features, but I will not use those features.
No.
And I don't recommend other people do. The thing is, okay, as well, back then, probably unless you were, you know, pretty ahead in the game, you didn't have a clue that what you were watching was recorded. Nowadays, people are much more savvy. It's obvious when it's not live, you know. So just say, just say, hey, this is a recorded webinar. Or come, you don't even have to say that it's live or not. Just say this is a webinar.
The funny thing is, though, Tina, is don't you think that this is the realization I've come to? Because I've tried every trick in the book over the years with online marketing. Yeah, I've listened to the gurus, and I've tried the different things, and I've had the false scarcity bar at the bottom of the sales page that says this runs out in 8 hours, and that's based on your IP address. You know, I've done it. I've been there. I've seen it. Yeah. I've worn the T-shirt. I've tried it. And all through my online marketing career, when I was really focusing on the sale, just focusing on the sale, I was constantly getting myself to a point where I was just burnt out all the time. And I wasn't happy. I didn't enjoy launches. And looking back on it now, what I realize is you focused on the wrong thing. You're totally focused on the wrong thing. The thing you should be focused on is, What are you selling? What is your service? What value are you adding? What is it that you want to actually do? What is your objective? Whose life do you want to change? How do you want to change it? What can you give them that's going to change their life? You know, what have you got that's going to... Now, if you focus on that, you don't need any scarcity techniques, right?
You don't, exactly. And it's all about as well. I mean, I've got a nice little kind of structure that I've put together, and most of the webinars out there now, they use the hero's journey story and they tell their rags to riches story. I just want to get my vomit bucket out, you know? And I said, look, it's not about the presenter, it's about the audience. It's about the thing that they've come to the webinar for. They've got a pain, they need it solving, they need to learn something. And if you give them, okay, so you want to get from A to Z. On this webinar, I can tell you what you need to do to get from A to Z, and I can teach you a little bit about that, but there's no way you can teach everything in an hour. So if you want to know the depth, then, you know, I'll tell you later on how you can work with me and get the rest. That's all you need to do. And for me, when I was going through that, that was probably the biggest wave that I needed to surf, was finding a way of selling that I could feel authentic with, true to myself, and that people... Because I have to sleep at night, you know, and it's kind of like, and it was finding the balance between giving everything away and being such a nice person that nobody ever gave me any money, and then I ended up broke and bankrupt, or get it, you know, going too far the other way where it was all about the manipulation and making like shed loads of money. And I thought, do you know what? There's a balance in the middle.
And what does that look like for you? What does that, you say you needed to find a way to sell that was true to you, that was authentic and genuine. So what does that actually look like for you?
So for me, what that looks like is, it's first of all about the, well, there's two things. First of all, it's about the relationship with my clients and my customers, and I will only work with them, and I'll only take money off them if it's a total win-win. If I'm confident that they are going to move forward by buying my stuff or by working with me. Secondly, it's about the presentation that hits that right balance between being all about the audience, a tiny bit about me in the right places so that they can trust me, and, you know, that they can build my, you know, that I can prove my credibility, and giving great value, doing something that I call creating buyer desire, so that by the end of it, if it's a right fit for them, I don't even have to do a pitch. By the time I've got to that point in the presentation, they, they know that they want it or not. It's just, well, okay, give us the price because I now need to see if I've got the funds. And then, you know, giving them the price, giving them the bonuses. And then it's like, you know, okay, there it is. If it's the right fit, I would love to have you on board. Otherwise, you don't have to go on for 45 minutes trying to persuade them. Because if anything, that kills it anyway. It's just like,
And what's creating buyer desire? Can you give us a quick summary of that?
Yeah. Okay. So I use a little structure where the first thing that I do is I start with some kind of bang. So it's all about making people get grabbing people's attention. So there's, again, so many webinars or, you know, video speeches, that kind of thing, where they say, okay, so, you know, put down your phone, close your Facebook, because you really want to listen to this. Yeah, no. Do you know anybody who's going to stop browsing Facebook because somebody tells them to? I don't think so. But if you say, for example, you know, because I use a really nice startling statistic that in marketing terms, you're more likely to survive a plane crash than you are to click on, say, an advertising banner. and that makes them like sit up and take notice. And then I just talk about them. So, okay, so why are you here on this webinar? So I'm kind of guessing that, and then all the things that are going to resonate with them in terms of where they're at now, which is painful,
yeah,
and then what they want instead. And then that gives them the reason to listen. And that starts creating the buyer desire. So I talk all about them. Then I introduce the subject in a way that it positions the subject as being what's going to get them from A to B. Then I say, well, okay, so when are you going to do this? You know, you can wait until after the summer holidays or after Easter or after little Johnny started school, or but the time will never be right. So, you know, there's only two times to plant an oak tree, like 20 years ago or now, you know.
So much of this is about making sure you got the right person on the webinar in the first place, isn't it? You know, I think,
absolutely.
Yeah. Cause, and I think what has happened in the past, and I saw it today on Facebook. I saw a post on Facebook this morning that I put my head in my hand. I was like, oh, come on. And that is that what happens is people will go out there with, almost trickery or mystery in order to get people to sign up, and then they'll use tricks and scarcity and all the rest of it to get them to then buy the course, right? But the long-term view is it's far easier to actually go out and be super transparent initially to make sure that the right person then comes on the webinar. Then you've got half the battle done. Then you're telling the story and showing them how you can help them. Then if they want to learn more, they can make that purchase. Then they're more likely to be somebody who takes action, who actually does what you're teaching them to do, who can then go out and say, guys, my life has changed or my business has changed because I've done this. And then they're going to bring you more right people, as opposed to getting the wrong people who don't really want to do it, who never take any action. And then you've never got an army of supporters to go out and help you grow your business, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's a recipe for lots of refunds as well. You know, the thing I'm proud of is that I think in something like 7 years now, I've only ever had two requests for refunds. And both of those.
So it's authenticity, isn't it? And being genuine, that's the key.
And, you know, if I'm honest, that's probably my other big way that I'm still learning to surf. And that is getting the right bums on seats in the first place. That's probably, you know, I can tell you what to do, but I'm not always, you know, like, for example, go out and get joint ventures, you know, do Facebook ads, post on LinkedIn, post on your other social media platforms. But I'm not an expert in that. So that's probably the bit that I've struggled with the most. But once I get them on, I know I can convert. And up to, there's been times when it's anything between 25 and 75%.
Yeah.
And on occasion, I converted 100% because it's been the right people. I might have only had four people on.
But then that's all you needed. Why get 400 people on and convert four when you can get four on and convert four? That sounds a lot easier to me. So what would you
and it's much better than your percentages.
So what would you say has been a real breakthrough moment in your online career, Tina?
The biggest thing was, do you know what? Nice people can get ahead too, and you don't have to do the tricks and the manipulation. For me, the biggest breakthrough was I can be myself. I can just be who I am. I don't have to be somebody else. I don't have to, you know, copy or model or be like anybody else. I can just be me. And that for me was the biggest thing. And it's really weird because since I kind of relaxed and just started, like, for example, I think when I was doing a lot of stuff online a few years back, people would say to me, oh, you know, you shouldn't, I mean, because I mean, you know that I'm a big fan of salsa dancing. That's my other big thing. And people say, oh, you shouldn't post your pictures of you salsa dancing because the people, you know, your business contacts might disapprove. Well, yeah, and they can go away then because they're not the right fit for me because this is who I am.
Yep.
So, you know, things like doing Facebook Live from the beach with my hair in plaits and looking a bit disheveled, that's me. That's who I am.
Yep.
And so, for me, I've been so much more successful since not trying to be successful. And as soon as I relaxed and I was just me, I've had so much more success.
Oh, do you know what? That is so true. That is so, that's a little golden gem there. No, it is though. How many times do we look at other people and think, gosh, I really wish I was more like them? And so we kind of, and also actually this is this is leading nicely into my next question. I think one of the things that we are so scared of is our own voices. We are very fearful of using our own voices. Are we going to get judged? Are we going to get rejected? Are we going to get ridiculed? Are people going to laugh at us? If we use our own voice, if we actually show who we are, and are confident in ourselves, are we actually going to? And so my next question to you was, do you think you're fearless?
No, not at all. I am a right scaredy baby. Okay, this is how much of a scaredy baby I am, and especially when it comes to voice. I remember when I used to have my phone and you do your voicemail. I used to use the robot voice because I couldn't stand the sound of my own voice, and I used to think people would think I was too girly and not professional enough. And I've had to learn because I mean, like now, yeah, I love speaking, but I mean, I was terrified at one point. And one of the things that I kind of learned with this whole journey was I actually had to learn courage to be who I was. And then when I first kind of decided to let down the guard and the barrier, I absolutely bricked myself. And I think this is the thing as well. The first time you do anything new, doesn't matter what it is. Like the first time I spoke in front of, say, a couple of thousand people instead of, you know, a smaller audience, I absolutely was scared silly. The first time I did a webinar, I was scared silly. The first time I did a joint venture webinar, I was scared silly. The first time I did a Facebook Live, I was scared silly. When I got on the plane to come here to Canada, I was scared silly. So it's not about being fearless, but it's about trusting that you, doesn't matter what happens. It's going back to the old Susan Jeffers book, feel the fear and do it anyway, you know. What's the worst that's going to happen? And when it comes to being judged as well, I think the first thing that we have to get our heads around is, yeah, you will be. But do you know what? The people who are judging you, they're never going to buy from you. They're not your clients and they're not your friends, because there will be a whole bunch of other people who love you for being you and who you are. Mm-hmm. If you try and please everybody, you end up bland, and that's when you get ignored.
That is such, that's great advice. Yep.
That's where I was for a long time. I was so afraid of saying the wrong thing. I'm so afraid of somebody judging me or thinking that I was not professional enough or not this enough or not that enough, that I would try and be all things to all people. In the end, I just thought, sod it, this is who I am. Love me or leave me,
Do
quite simply.
you think that you would you, oh, I don't know, if I ask you the question in this way, I'm going to put words in your mouth and I want to hear your answer. What do you think has been a catalyst in you really being able to be a lot more confident in your mission, in your direction, in what you want to do in your life? What do you think has been a driver?
It's really funny, but failure has been a big driver, and it's given me confidence because once I failed, and more than once, once I'd gone bankrupt and everything, I kind of thought, well, I've survived. I'm still here. I've still got food on the table. I've still got friends. I've still got the ability to enjoy stuff, especially like the beach, which is free. And then all of a sudden, it almost seemed like there was nothing left to fear. And then it was kind of, there's always been an optimism and hope that I can do two things. Number one, have a better life for myself. And number two, inspire others. And I just thought, it's really funny because I remember once I went to a professional speakers conference, and it was way back in about 2002, something like that. And I heard all these people on the stage, and I just went, crikey, I can't be a speaker. I can't do this because I haven't got a story to tell. And it's like, be careful what you wish for, because then the universe kind of made sure I had a few stories by, massive failures. But it's funny because I just realized that we're all on our own little path. We've all got our own stories. You haven't got to have climbed Everest. You haven't got to have overcome. Like one of the speakers that I saw that really made an impact on me didn't have any hands, but yet was still able to play the piano. And I went, yeah, but that's incredible. I'm just like Mrs. Regular Joe, and I'm like every other Tom, Dick, and Harry out there. And who the hell am I? I haven't done anything special. But then somebody said, yeah, but you don't have to, because actually the people who are often more inspiring are the people who've overcome what we would consider normal stuff. The people who've climbed Everest or been the first woman in space, yeah, amazing, but we just can't get our heads around that. But if you say, yeah, but I had a business and I failed and then I did this, oh yeah, then that's, perhaps something that, oh, maybe I can do that then.
I know. Do you know, it's crazy though, isn't it? Because I lived a very normal life. I had a pretty normal upbringing, and I've been very fortunate in my life, and I've always had food on the table and all of that kind of stuff, and went to a half decent school and got a job, and all sort of very blah blah blah. And you look at these people who have had a terrible, horrific things happen to them and how they've bounced back. And when you're in sales, you start actually thinking to yourself, well, I kind of wish something horrific had happened so that I had a great story I could tell. And you think, no, you don't wish anything horrific had happened. For goodness sakes, listen to yourself. Thank God you had a normal life. Do you know what I mean? You don't actually want something horrific to have happened to you. That's crazy.
Yeah, but I have actually thought that, and it's kind of, but for me, it's just there's always that, yeah, but there's something more out there. There's something, what's next? I think it's just a thirst for adventure. That's what drives me. There's two things. I've always wanted to help people. I've always wanted to inspire people. I've always wanted to
Do you feel like
kind
you're
of
doing that
bring
now?
sunshine.
Do you feel like you're doing that right now? Do you feel like you're helping and inspiring and bringing sunshine to people's
Well,
lives right now?
funny enough, I didn't think so until I saw your video and then sat down and thought about it. And And it's funny because sometimes I think it's conditioning. When people give you a compliment, you don't always take it on board. But I've had, when I've been posting my pictures and doing my little Facebook lives, I've had so many people saying, "Oh, we love following your journey. What you're doing is so inspiring." And I've had some really lovely messages, like, just meeting you has touched, we're so grateful that to have met you, you've touched our lives. And I'm thinking, well, I didn't do anything. I just hung out with you for a while. I haven't like taught them anything. But a lot of people say that just through getting up off my bum and grabbing life by the horns and just having a laugh over silly little things. People have said that that's inspiring, and it's really funny because one of my biggest posts that I got loads of likes for was I just posted a picture of a massive huge ice cream that I bought, and I went, "Why are people liking this post? It's like nothing deep or special, but it's just me being me." And
And it's people living vicariously, you know. I mean,
yeah.
when I post pictures of my travels, you know, they get such positive response, and you think, oh, I'm just posting a picture of a sunset, but to somebody else, that's just made
Yeah.
them smile, you know. And
Yeah.
I do a little radio show here in Phuket with a friend of mine, and the whole point of it is to get out there and give some good news. And we always say, if we can just make one person smile today, then we've had an impact, you know, because
Exactly,
it's a
exactly.
narky old world we live in. And if you can just
Yeah.
brighten somebody's day, then you're having a positive impact, you know, if you can pass on that smile.
Absolutely. And here's something that might make people smile. So I took this picture of this ice cream, and I had to take it because it was huge. It was humongous. It was a double flavor. And I thought, this has got to be done. So you're trying to balance your ice cream in one hand and your phone in the other one. I take a picture. And then, literally seconds afterwards, the top fell off the
Oh
cone.
no.
Then I rescued it. I dropped my phone on the floor and it survived. But I caught the ice cream blob, stuffed it back on, and then, of course, I had ice cream all over my hands and my coat, and licked it all off, picked my phone up, and carried on.
Oh, nice. So, Tina, what tips? What are your top tips, would you say, to give someone who is struggling to get an online business off the ground right now, or maybe not struggling, they just actually really want to do it, but they're not entirely sure, you know, how to kind of get going? What would be your top, say, I don't know, three to five tips?
Well, the first thing is do it, because and a lot of times you think you can't do something and you can. If you'd have told me 6 months ago that I would have done this trip around Canada, I wouldn't have believed it. And I just kind of just took the first step, and then the rest followed. So again, it's do it, take that first step. And commit to it. I think that's the other thing, is a lot of people, and certainly things that I, projects I've taken on, I've only taken on half-heartedly. But it's when you really commit to something that the action happens, and you really go for it. And then get a mentor. I mean, I was so fortunate to have you as, one of my mentors, and the stuff that you taught me, I'm still doing today. So I think, a lot of times it's because there's so much rubbish out there that's being taught. You've just got to kind of, I think, ask yourself, do your due diligence, and just ask yourself, does this feel right? Because I know there's courses that I've taken and I shouldn't have, because I just got all caught up in hype and it didn't feel like right. But I just thought, oh, this is going to get me to where I want to be. So do your due diligence, have mentors, and just keep taking the next step forward, the next step forward,
And
and keep going.
you can do your due diligence easily now online. I would recommend that you follow people. Go and follow people that you like the look of, and watch them for a while, you know. And then if you really like them and you think they're genuine, then obviously they're the people that you can go and follow up with and see if they run any courses or anything like that that you can take. But do that rather than just go for the headline that says, "Hey, I'm going to show you how to do something in 6 60 seconds flat, you know. Go for that, and for goodness sakes, don't fall for these terrible Facebook posts that say, when I started, I was desperate, and I was this, and I was that, but I can show you how I've done da-di-da-di-da. All that language, or it just, you know, I don't know, it leaves a really bad taste in the mouth.
I mean, there's probably one or two where it was true and they did, but, you know, it's just a bit of a worn-out record now for most of them.
Yeah, absolutely. So from a completely practical point of view, what do you think are the three most important elements of starting and growing an online business, Tina?
Oh, crikey, there's so many. I'm not even sure I can come up with the three. Let me see. So, the first thing is know exactly who your customer is, who you want to help. Because that's the starting point for everything, because you can't help everybody. And that was one of the biggest mistakes as well that I made to start with. Be really super clear about who you want to help and how you want to help them. And then look at what's going to be the easiest way for you to facilitate that and make it happen. And how are you going to get in front of those people?
And you know what? That's pretty much it. I mean, that pretty much is it. Many people will go, oh, you know, well, I need to build a website and I need to have a hosting and I need to have a domain and I need to have an autoresponder and I need to have a whole funnel in place. That's all the technical jargon and that's the stuff. The critical thing of running a business is who am I going to help? How am I going to help them? And what's the easiest way for me to be able to get out there and show them I can help them? You know? And if you focus your entire thing, I mean, you've literally just rounded it up in a nutshell there, Tina. And if people just focus on who am I helping, how can I help them, and how can I really get in front of them to show them that I can help them? If they literally just focus on those three things and stop worrying about all the bells and whistles. I was talking to my good friend Jared about this recently, about removing barriers to progress, and you can turn around and say, forget it, I'm not going to worry about WordPress and designs and all the stuff that's going to take hours and hours and hours to put together. I'm literally going to start a blogger account or a Medium account, and I'm just going to get my content out there, you know. I'm literally just going to post on social media.
You can do the whole thing on Facebook. You can do the whole thing on Facebook because, you know, eventually it's cool if you can do the webinar and the membership site and the products and all that kind of thing. But you can interact, you can find the people on Facebook, and then you can just set up a private, you can actually use Facebook to do a kind of webinar if you like. You can then just literally send them a PayPal button to sign up. And then you can deliver your program all in a private Facebook group.
That's it. That literally is it. And you know what? Something similar has happened to me recently. I'm very, very focused on my health at the moment. And I recently joined a program, which has been absolutely phenomenal. And basically, I was following the guy and he was talking sense and he emailed a link to this thing and I used PayPal and the whole thing's been run on a private Facebook group. There's no membership site. There's no website. There's nothing like that. He's done it super easy and simple. He's made a massive impact on mine and lots of other people's lives, and what he's focused on is building an audience. You know, he just wants to connect with people, create rapport, build that relationship, grow that audience, and then every so often he sends out, hey, you know, if you'd like to join this program, here's your link, and it's all done through a private Facebook group. And super simple, super easy. So very good, very, very good. So Tina, this is a little question I like to ask. If you could go back to either, you know, I know this is quite broad, but it's because I was asking myself, would I go back to my 20s or 30s? And in my 20s, I wasn't even mature enough to think about this. But if you could go back to, say, either your 20s or 30s, what would be the most important message now that you would want to tell yourself back then?
Oh, if I could go back, I think the most important thing would be believe in myself. It really would. It would be the mindset. Believe in myself and don't listen to all the naysayers out there who tell you you can't do stuff.
Yep. With you.
Simple. I mean, I would love to be like in my 20s now and have the opportunity now that, when I was 20, the internet hadn't even been invented, and there
Oh,
weren't the opportunities back
in them days.
then. In them days, I know. And I got to be honest, there's a little bit of a green monster that comes out when I see the youngsters and the opportunities. I think, oh, I wish that had been around when I was 20,
Oh, don't even get me started on the opportunities that they're not grabbing. That's a whole nother conversation altogether. But you're so right about that. I mean, it really does hold us back, doesn't it? A lack of
It does.
self-belief and worrying about what other people think about us.
I mean, I had it drummed into me. I'm kind of that generation, I guess, that it was, little girls should be seen and not heard. Get your head out the clouds, your feet on the ground. Don't be stupid. You can't do that. Everything from I've always wanted adventure and I wanted to join the Scouts, but I couldn't because I was a girl. And back in them days, I mean, you can do it now, but back in them days, you couldn't. And I just had programmed into me over many, 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 many years, you can't do that, you can't do that. And I ended up believing it. So then I started telling myself, you can't do that because I remember somebody saying, you're too nice for sales. They were trying to protect me. They were trying to, it was a tough old industry, I guess, but it's amazing the impact this stuff has. So personal development, mindset, meditation is just the foundation that helps you keep going when times get tough.
Wonderful. Well, Tina, it's been fantastic to talk to you. Any kind of parting thoughts before we leave? What are you doing today? What's on your? Oh, you're off to a Salsa event tonight, aren't you?
I am. Yeah, it's 7:15 in the evening now, so I'm off out to salsa event. And then over the rest of the weekend, I'm starting to pack up my kit to go from Calgary to Dallas.
Today, are you excited?
I am very excited. I know this is going to sound silly, but I'm of the generation that watched Dallas on TV in
I know, I'm
the
humming the theme tune in my head as we speak.
I am as well. I have been ever since I knew I was going. I'll be so disappointed. Well, it's not going to happen, but I'll be so disappointed if I don't see JR.
Netflix, not that I spend any time watching Netflix, because clearly I'm a highly productive individual. But on Netflix, there's a new Dallas series out, and it's absolute pants. Oh, it doesn't touch the original. It's not
I
even
know. I
close.
saw it and I went, no, I'm not going there.
Oh, it's a
Nothing.
load of
I don't want to have
rubbish.
the original spoiled. The original was amazing.
Oh, I don't think there is even J.R. Ewing or anybody in it. It's all about the character. Oh, it's just an absolute pile of rubbish. My daughter was watching it, and I said to her, "Come on, sweetie, you must have better things to do with your life." But okay, well, look, you have an absolutely fantastic time in Texas.
Thank you. It's been
Enjoy
so
it.
lovely talking with you and catching up
It's
again.
been lovely to catch up. It's been far too long, Tina, far too long. But I have to say, I am so impressed and proud, and I just think you're awesome. And the one thing that
Oh,
you've
thank you.
always been, ever since we got to know each other, was an action taker. I know it's not always been easy for you, and you've come up against it, and different things have happened, and you've had your ups and downs, and bright shiny objectitis, like we all have, and all that kind of stuff going on. But you've always known what you wanted to do. You've just always had that. I know I want to help people with speaking. I know I want to help them with their voice, with their message. And you've been consistent with that all the way through. And you've just taken the action to make it happen. And now there you are. You got your dream of living in Spain, and you're now traveling and getting around there and inspiring people to just be free and live life on their terms. And you are an inspiring action taker, my lovely. And
Oh, thank you.
thank you very much. Well, thank you for being so fabulous.
Oh, thank you for teaching me everything that I do has come out of your teachings. Where I went off track was when I kind of had the bright, shiny objects, but yeah, so thank
We're
you.
just
You
having
have
a we're just having a
been an
quick moment
inspiration.
of mutual appreciation, everybody listening. A quick
Yeah.
mutual appreciation society.
Well, we go back a long way now,
We
don't
do,
we?
we do.
Gosh.
So I look forward to catching up with you at some point, darling, on our travels. I'm sure they are going to bring us
Likewise.
together somewhere in the world at some point. So thank you very much. Having a fantastic time at Salsa tonight, and
Thank you.
thank you very much for being such an inspiration to our listeners.
Thank you, my pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. To join in the conversation, please head over to joebarnesonline.com, where you can find links to podcasts, show notes, and sign up to download my free ebook, How to Build a Business You Can Run from Anywhere in the World. If you have a moment, please subscribe and quickly rate this podcast. I'm not sure where you're listening to this, but if you happen to be on iTunes, it literally takes a tenth of a second to hit the little stars, and your rating will ensure it gets out to more people and impacts as many as possible. Lastly, I'm super passionate about creating a movement of philanthropic investors. So please head over to joebarnesonline.com/microangel to find out more about how you can become a micro angel and with just $25 impact thousands of women and children who desperately need our help. Thank you so much. I do hope you've enjoyed today's episode. See you on the next podcast. And in the meantime, get out there and make life happen.